Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday show with Jack Jodell, F. Wayne Johnson, and myself, Gwendolyn Berry. Welcome. Anyone who wants to call in today, please feel free. We're just having a general conversation about the week in review. And I guess the most, the one thing you were both talking about at the beginning of, prior to coming on was, not the Netroots thing, but the clown car that is the Republican contingency for the presidency.
Absolutely.
It really, yeah. I gotta say this, guys. When Bush was running against McCain for the presidency.
In 2000.
Yeah, before it got really bad, I was down here. I was at one of the places where there were all kinds of people talking, and I got to sit down with Senator McCain for a few minutes. He was drinking beer with everybody. I liked it.
Same here.
This was before I liked him as a person. I did not agree with his politics, but I liked who he was and how he came across. He was genuine, in my opinion.
Right.
But
in those days, yep.
Yeah, after the catastrophe that he went through with Bush and that slime ball that runs everything for him and all
Karl Rove, yeah.
Karl Rove. He changed. He really did change publicly.
Voted him just like they did Kerry.
They
slip voted him.
They gave him a hard time. Well, this past week, that idiot, the clown, the number one clown, and he's number one in the poll still.
Donnie boy.
Yeah, he said something about. Now, I do not think war is a good thing at all. I'm against it every time.
Right.
I think what Kerry and Obama achieved was the best that could be done with the best intentions as far as what they've done with Iran and a treaty. I really do, because that's about that real in real time. That's the best that could be done. It was diplomacy.
Right. Yeah. Nothing's perfect, but that was a good step in the right direction, I think.
My point is that. Before we get out in tangents here, I really want to say this. Anyone who's that much of a buffoon to get onto a stage so full of themselves the way this asshat is, and to about a man like John McCain, who I am against war, guys, you know this. Military is being rightfully used anywhere on the planet. But for them to say that a man like John McCain, who did not step up to the easy out when he was captured and stayed at the most notorious torture chamber in the Vietnam era, the Hanoi Hill, to say the things that he did about John McCain, somebody ought to throw fruit or rotten tomatoes at that son of a bitch. He really needs to come down off the stage. I really think so. And for the Republicans to watch them, I mean, even I think Rick Perry is an asshole. And yet Rick Perry is the only one who has stepped up and very loudly said what kind of an asshole Donald Trump is for saying what he did about John McCain. The rest of them, Rubio did also today. I mean.
Yeah, and I think so did Lindsey Graham. But it's all after the fact. All after the fact.
Yeah,
but not hear anything out of Jeb Bush, not to hear it, and this guy Cotton was on. I know he's not running, but he's a big troublemaker.
Oh, he's nothing but trouble.
He was on, what do you call it, this week was NBC, Press, what is the name of it, for crying out loud?
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
Meet the Press. He said today everything he could to be on all sides at once. And it was
Khan's a little shit ass is what he is. He's worthless. All he wants to do is be a big name out there. He's a little pipsqueak, and he's going to stay that way his whole life, kind of like Bobby Jindal in that regard.
Yeah, but gentlemen, I got to ask you, do you think it's – Jack, you're progressive. Wayne, you're a real conservative. You represent Ike-era values with the Republicans, which are no longer there.
Right, exactly.
So I'm a mouthy little broad when it comes to, well, not a little, but as you know, I'm out there saying what I think, and I have to say that, you know, I do not agree with Mr. McCain's politics. I think he's a war hawk, a warmonger. I think he's bad for the country. I do respect who he is. I respect right to say what he thinks is his side of it, because he's earned it as an American, as a political leader, as a veteran, as the Navy vet, as I recall.
Right, that is correct. It was a Navy pilot. That's flown over 28 missions.
Yeah, I'm a little partial to the Navy. But the point is that you do not, that's just decency. And that credibility to who you are, when you stand up, and or as he did, if you saw from the position he was speaking, he was sitting with the body language of an arrogant asshole, okay?
Oh, always.
Well, Glenn, let me point out, Donald Trump was talking to the wrong meat eaters of the uber reactionary conservatives, the Sarah Palin crowd, there in Las Vegas. So he was playing to the demographics to whom he was speaking. Unfortunately, that has become too much of a big aspect of my Republican Party. I considered myself a moderate. I am a Navy vet myself. And on that aspect, I kind of like John McCain. I have respect for him, I'll say that.
Right.
But what Donald Trump did, now, and speaking to these tinfoil hat aspects now that has taken over my Republican Party.
They're all chicken hawks.
And the Republican I'm going to serve. I'll give you the other thing. Now, the Republican congressman who I did a lot of work with from the 1st District of Maryland, he was Congressman Wayne Gilchrist. Uh-huh. He was a Navy Cross winner. He was a Marine, combat Marine in Vietnam, won the Navy Cross for his valor. When it came time to vote to bring the troops home from Iraq, he broke ranks with the Republicans and met with the Democrats and said, yes, it's time to bring these boys home.
Mm-hmm.
The Tea Party went after him because he wasn't a true conservative, and he lost his seat after many years. He would not take corporate money. He would not take PAC money. He voted the conscience, his conscience, and that of what he felt his constituents.
But that is
it's all gone. That is now all gone in the Republican Party.
It's gone in the Democrats, too. I mean, I was surprised, too. I would like to play some Democrats now who, these are not bad sound bites. They're thoughtful sound bites. First is one that's extremely, and I hope this plays because Facebook has a way of jamming videos. But this was Netroots Nation, something I supported for a long time and then got out of when they went Obama. But they had Senator Warren addressing them in Phoenix this week. And this is a couple of minutes of her speech.
Yes. We believe that the economy grows when hardworking families have a chance to improve their lives. We believe that the country gets stronger when we invest in helping people succeed. Our lives improve when we reach out to our neighbors. We're tired of a game that is rigged for the rich and the powerful. For progressives, it's all about a fighting chance, not just for some of us, but for all of us. That's what we believe. Now, I hear the naysayers, the lobbyists, and the public relations machine, the political pundits and the talking heads, the well-greased politicians and the oh-so-important experts who write off our values as too liberal, too unrealistic to be in the mainstream. They've spent millions of hours and billions of dollars to help create an insider Washington, a Washington where everything works wonderfully for those with money and power. They have built the ultimate cozy, comfy game that is rigged for the insiders. It's the Washington where, despite all the down-home ads that run during election season, the values of the American people are mostly ignored. Now, insider Washington watched one of its own representatives nearly die from a gunshot to the head just 100 miles from here, and then refused to hear the country's calls for common sense gun reform. Insider Washington worries that we've been too tough on Wall Street, while the American people know that banksters who broke our economy belong in jail.
Yes.
That's what's going on with Warren. And her message is clear, and it's, you know, she's correct.
I agree 100%.
She's nailing it. As far as I'm concerned, she has nailed it.
Yes.
Well, And she's nailed it not just for, you know, she's not saying Republican or Democrat. She's saying Washington. Now, I would take it a bit further. I would say that this is true in Germany. It's true in almost every city capital that the banksters run.
Well, it's the uppermost 1% of the 1% throughout the world.
Yes, that includes Peking, and it certainly includes Moscow.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
I mean, that's what she's really talking about. And at that same convention, there was, you know, Netroots is about grassroots organizations.
Uh-huh.
And that's where all the, you know, the fire comes from, the firebrand.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And they're really in their concept, in their goals, they are really a great group. It's just that they cling to the damn Democrats because the Democrats funnel money to them. But you got to hear this. This is 3 minutes. A liberal activist that spoke up at a conference in Phoenix with Governor O'Malley on the stage and Senator Sanders standing by. Let me get this going.
Demonstrators have just taken over O'Malley's time on stage here at Netroots.
At least be a promise! At least be a promise! They are made! They are made!
They are
made! They are
made!
They are made!
They are made!
It's an important message.
So right now, here today, we want to take a moment to acknowledge the lives lost, specifically the black women's lives that are lost.
If I die in police custody!
If I die in police custody!
Call my mom first!
This issue is so important. Black lives matter. White lives matter.
How many black people have killed police officers this year? How many?
Exactly.
I'm trying to respond to the call of your question as best I can.
Do not generalize this.
I want an actual conversation to happen. Please.
Specifically, I believe every police department in America should have to report in an open and transparent and timely way all police-involved shootings, all discourtesy complaints, and all brutality complaints.
They wanted candidates to talk about black people who had been killed by police in America. They wanted them to say their names on camera, on stage.
A couple more minutes, and then we're going to get
I want them to address what they see as widespread institutional racism throughout the United States.
My wife can't wait!
For a lot of them, they did not seem satisfied by what they saw. While Senator Sanders was speaking, a lot of them just walked out on him right before he was finished.
So I continually...
Yeah, hold on one second. Hold on.
Listen, I don't have Black Lives, of course, matter. And I spent 50 years of my life fighting for civil rights and for dignity. But if you don't want me to be here, that's okay.
No, you were on the stage with presidential candidates, but you weren't necessarily invited to be there. What happened?
The program itself and the structure of the conference wasn't really lending itself to this very important conversation. I came away with the impression that, you know, they have a lot of homework to do, and I hope that they're ready to, you know, really sit down and listen and talk to these communities, right, and come up and build their platform with these communities.
After what happened today at Netroots Nation, he came and spoke to a small gathering of Latino activists that are connected to the conference, and he revisited some of the questions about racial injustice and inequality.
How do you see addressing racial justice?
I wish I could tell you that I had a magical formula on how to end racism. It's gone on in this country from before it was America. And we just got to figure out the goal, I think, that we all share. I would hope that all decent-minded Americans share. It's how do we create a society which ends discrimination? How do we best deal with racism in America? So, I mean, I'm asking questions here. We are making some progress, but we've got to accelerate that.
So that was, sorry, guys. That was the scene at Netroots Nation yesterday, I think. Am I still on with you? What had happened was there was a contingency of, well, it was multicolored, but mostly black, of activists saying, we want you to address this, the Black Lives Matter. And Governor O'Malley knocked himself right off the stage by saying, showing his ignorance and saying, well, all lives, you know, of course Black Lives Matter, but so do white lives, all lives matter. He thought he was giving the correct answer. He's not been informed. He has no idea of what is really happening, what's going on the streets, what's happening in our country to black people. And black people are trying so hard to get the conversation, to address it the way it should be, that Black Lives Matter this way. Of course all lives matter. That's not the point. The point is that black lives matter right now. It's black lives that are being dashed to the side right now. And the politicians who are not addressing this issue, especially guys like, you know, Bernie did not really do anything wrong. Everybody was just so upset by the rambling of Governor O'Malley that they loaded on to Bernie too. But the point was that the conversation has to come up. This is a conversation that should be in the debates. It should be a subject matter for any presidential candidate right now.
And you I'm sure it will be down the line. It should be now, but it will be, I'm sure of that. And, you know, I want to point out one thing here that a lot of people overlook or don't even know. Bernie Sanders was arrested on a civil rights charge in 1963, well ahead of the curve. And he's been fighting for equality ever since.
He was one of the riders, man, that went down into the South.
That's right.
Now you want to talk heroes. That man was definitely staring down the barrel of guns, knowing he had a target on him from a sniper, from a good old boy Klansman that took much exception to what he was doing, coming down there showing us how we need to be. Yeah, go
ahead.
But
the point is that the only credibility that people want right now, that activists, that people in the streets, that people who are really friggin' suffering in this country really want, is their presidential candidates to start having conversations about their issues. And it's not being done. So at Netroots, they can do this. But there's no other forum that's going to allow it. They're going to be hoisted off to jail, and who knows which one of them will get wiped out doing that. But they're
quick to shoot at black people nowadays, too. It's so ridiculous.
Well, Jack, even when they get them in, arrest them and into the police station.
They were quick to shoot at Occupy. Look at the brutality and cruelty in which they treated all the activists. This country.
That happened during Vietnam, too, Gwen.
Hmm?
That happened during Vietnam, too.
Yes, sir. It did. It did. And the country finally got behind it because you got a guy like Walt Cronkite who went over and started telling the truth about it and addressing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't any politician who did. We all know the dancing LBJ, you know?
Right.
The only reason Great Society comes up in his watch is because it was forced upon him.
Well, he did a lot of he had Hubert Humphrey doing a lot of behind the scenes work to get his bills passed. It was a source of pride with him. It was a source of macho for him. He maybe went about it for all the wrong reasons, but the important point is that he did actively support it and he got it done. So I'm not going to throw stones at LBJ. I can throw stones at him for Vietnam and a lot of other things, but not for his domestic programs.
I will also give you this. There was
he was blackmailed into it by the violence in Selma and all throughout the South, the nastiness there. He had to move. He had to get it done.
Well, of course he did.
Yeah. That was definitely a consideration.
Watts and
I'll also give you two. There was a senator from the South who was definitely a segregationist. He was not going to move. He called him into the White House personally. Of course, LBJ was a tall person. He stood toe-to-toe at him, looked down over his glasses because he towered over him and says, I'm going to need your support on this. What's it going to take?
That was Richard Russell of Georgia.
Thank you. I could not remember the name.
And Richard Russell was dying a thousand deaths. But I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't face my people and do that. He says, you're going to do it because it's the right thing to do. It's that he browbeat that guy, and that was a good – he's the 180 degrees different than Obama.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I'm glad he did that. It was very necessary, and he did the right thing, and I wish Obama would show a little bit of those guts.
Right. And like I said, I'm not willing – as far as civil rights, I'm not going to sell LBJ short on what I felt that he did to make it all happen.
He did,
Now, he was taking advice from his advisors. I'm trying to think of the general who keeps saying, just you want more troops and we can win this war. Who was it?
Oh, Westmoreland?
No.
Wasn't General Westmoreland?
Yeah, Westmoreland, right.
Yeah.
And he was believing his advisors. And then when he found out after the Tet Offensive that it was all just a crock of crap, they were blowing sunshine up his tuchus.
Right.
And unfortunately, he believed his advisors. That's why he said, I'm not going to run for a second term.
That's when he started moving toward getting a peace deal brokered. And then Nixon sabotaged that.
Right. So. I'm sorry, Gwen. I cannot agree with you on that one. I'm not going to sell LBJ shorts.
That's what makes horse racing, guys. You know, we have different opinions.
Absolutely.
But I think we have the same goals, you know?
Oh, of course we do.
That's a true statement, of course.
The point is that nowadays, we have to force these politicians into having these conversations.
We've always had to do it. People are just lazier now, and they don't do it as often, and they need to do it more now than ever.
Well,
absolutely. There needs to be that movement, that rising up from the ground ranks of the everyday working middle class people, especially the young ones. Basically, they're the ones who are going to take over this crap.
Guys, that was my whole point. This is Netroots that all the speak came from, was Netroots Nations and the conference this week out in Phoenix. And, of course, nobody threw or called the cops on the group, on the Black Lives Matter group. But that's the only place I can think of where that's going to be tolerated or allowed. And both politicians weren't ready for it. I don't think Sanders was ready for it either.
No, no. Well, you know, yeah, they were blindsided. They were sucker punched.
I don't think sucker punched.
You know, yeah, no. Well, they were not expecting that kind of a volume and that kind of an outrage. Go ahead, Gwen.
I expect my presidential candidates to be aware fully of what's going on in this country. Governor O'Malley certainly wasn't. I think Bernie Sanders was. I think he was trying to deal the best he could after everything.
Yeah, and I think the reason he got blindsided is he didn't expect it coming out of Redneck Phoenix. He didn't expect a group of that nature to come out of Redneck Phoenix, and Phoenix is very redneck. Don't kid yourself. And it would blindside me, too.
It was Netroots. And the place is filled with progressives. That's where progressives come from, man.
Sure.
Group. And for presidential candidates that you think are something different, certainly Governor O'Malley does not get into that category. But Senator Sanders does. He is out there with a message that appeals to the issues that are truly out there. I don't care for a stand on Israel, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's Jewish. Right. What can you do?
Well, nobody's everything to everybody, so.
No, exactly. And, you know, let me just say this. I can't speak for Senator Sanders, obviously. And I do. I am intrigued by his run, and I like a lot of things he's proposing and saying. But I'm just going to say this, and I want this to be food for thought because I think it's very relevant. He not only did he have a great career. I mean, his entire career has been based on public service to the neediest people in the country, in the fairness and the justice of it all. But that's one thing. But another thing is, he's so marginalized in the mainstream media, there's been absolutely no coverage whatsoever of his reaction or his subsequent remarks. And I'll have to see it on Tom Hartman this week, what he has to say about that recent conference, because there's been absolutely no coverage whatsoever of him on the mainstream media dealing with this issue.
Well, okay, with what issue specifically?
Well, the one we're talking about, Black Lives Matter and all that stuff. He's already come out. I've heard him talk in favor of it.
Yeah. You know, what the black voices, what they're coming out with here, is still the working middle class. They want to have a voice because, it was just somewhere down south, another black kid, we'll say early 20s, I say kid because I'm 62, was arrested. Mm-hmm. And now they're having to investigate because, gee, how did he die in the policeman's hands while being arrested in jail?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, there's too much of that crap going on.
Excuse me, guys.
And what about the lady that was pulled over and just browbeat? Just, she had brain damage. I mean, she couldn't even hear by the time the cops got done with her, and she ended up dying 3 days later in jail. This is going on. It's rampant.
You guys are missing a few things. In the last couple of weeks, one of the women who was behind the Black Lives Matter campaign was arrested and died in jail, mysteriously.
That's what I was talking about.
Uh-huh. And then also, they have had Bernie Sanders on CNN and whatnot, and I agree with you, Jack. They never bring up Black Lives Matter, but what's terrible is he doesn't either.
They're trying to portray him as an economic radical, and that's all they're focusing on. So the topic doesn't even come up. And you know what? A lot of those shows are edited, Gwen. Even though they claim to be live, a lot of them are edited. And I would venture to say if he tried to bring it up, he might have been cut off.
I hear you. I understand what you're saying. But the other part about this is that the grassroots groups around this country are bringing this up at campaign stops everywhere. They brought it up to Hillary, and Hillary addressed it, and she didn't make that kind of goof. She did not make that kind of a goof. She said, yes, Black Lives Matter, and something
happened. Yeah, I remember that. That's right. Yep.
There are a lot of, it's just that, you know, if you're paying attention to, I'm just going to say the social streams, you realize just how much action there is amongst grassroots groups right now to get these issues into this presidential campaign. There's a lot of stuff going on out there.
Yeah, unfortunately, they're fighting a boatload of corporate money that's trying to quell all this stuff. So we've got to keep pushing for this stuff. And I'm glad you brought it up today, Gwen. We've got to keep pushing for it, no doubt about it.
That's the good thing about this Blog Talk Radio, where we're not subservient to any advertisers, anything like that. We can talk about the true issues. We can talk about the true conclusions.
Nobody's paying us one way or the other, and we just say what's on our mind.
Exactly.
Further in the week, I know we were talking about this before, but how long do you think Mr. Trump's going to last, guys?
Oh, what a blowhard. You know, he is a typical grandstander. He's just like P.T. Barnum. There's a sucker born every minute, and he's playing it to the hilt. He's
well
doing what Sarah Palin did. He's just making noise to be noticed.
He is collecting a paycheck. He will collect a paycheck, even though his show, which is basically, you know, look, face it. When you take marketing, you know that your product has a bell curve longevity.
Right.
The Apprentice had started, it peaked, and it was on the downward slide. He needed a new venue. This is a perfect aspect. He can go now into goofy-ass conservative blowhard talk radio and keep spouting the same thing and keep collecting a paycheck. His casinos, four of them, are in bankruptcy. People don't have the money to gamble away in Atlantic City and the other where else he has it. So he's got to find a new venue to bring in the cash flow.
He constantly overstates his wealth. He claims he's worth $9 billion, and all estimates I've ever heard that are reliable and accurate seem to be in the 4-point-something billion range, which is still a lot of money. But he always is so insecure, personally insecure, he's always got to blow himself up bigger than he really is. And that is sign of a very deviant man.
Yeah, in that $9 billion, he has, for his own personal attraction, estimated his value worth, like, you know, several hundred million dollars right there in itself.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I am the commodity myself, kind of a thing. This is what I am worth.
So
he's not worth 2 cents to me.
Oh, yeah, who cares what he's worth? Do you think he's going to get ousted by the other Republicans?
Oh, he's not going to get voted, but he can use his own money just like Ross Perot.
Yes,
to keep himself, you know, in the spotlight and stuff.
And group conferences that the Koch brothers had this past year, they wanted to get rid of Jeb Bush. They don't like Jeb Bush because he's too mainstream for them.
There's still that civil war, teabaggers and mainstream Republicans, is still going on in the Republican Party. There is a civil war, and those are the battle lines, the Koch versus the Karl Rove aspect.
Oh, exactly.
But I want to bring this up here, Jack.
Go ahead.
If he's worth, you know, Trump sees himself as being a viable candidate for president because he's worth billions of dollars, well, wouldn't that be the same for El Chapo, who's importing drugs into this country? He's worth billions of dollars.
Yeah, right.
Did you know that the El Chapo tweeted a death threat at Trump last month?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well.
You got a contract out on Trump.
Again, keep going in the circus. It doesn't get better than this crap.
That makes it pretty horrible for our Secret Service, though, because they have to protect him.
Oh, yeah. They do, that's true.
I would
all
not
can,
want
all viable
any of
candidates.
Our Secret Service men die in the line of protecting. Mm-hmm. See, that's the other thing. They would throw themselves in front of him to take the bullet from an assassin from El Chapo.
Oh, man.
To protect him as a presidential candidate.
That'd be a real tragedy.
I'm going to say, now you want to talk about a travesty. That's right, Jack.
That'd be just bad,
That would be a waste. That would be the waste of that man's life.
But the Koch brothers had a big gathering of all the notable Republicans, including Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio and everybody but Jeb Bush. It wasn't there, but Donald Trump was, and so was Scott Walker. And somebody brought up the thing, well, we've got to do something about Jeb Bush, and Donald Trump just, I'll do it, you know. He just wants to get rid of Jeb Bush, and he wants his public limelight to be enhanced, and he'll make some money off it, and willing lapdog Scott Walker will benefit from it.
I think his hubris is that big ego that he's just doing it because the camera's on me. Take a swim at Donald Trump, you know?
Exactly.
Well, yeah, do you know who's drawing is the largest crowd in the
Bernie
presidential?
Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, and do you know where his largest crowd has been drawn so far?
I just read this. Help me.
Madison, Wisconsin.
No.
Where?
No.
Out there in Redneck Phoenix, 11,000 people.
Oh, I didn't realize. Oh, no kidding, yeah. Well, he drew 10,000 in Madison.
Yeah.
He drew 10,000 in Madison.
He's
making
good on his promises to really draw people in, and he's grassroots piling a war chest up, which has ever really been done before, I don't think. We know Obama said he did, but he got a lot of money from people, but he got a lot of money.
Oh, he got a lot of PAC money, too, yeah.
Well, that just goes to show how much Bernie Sanders' message is ringing truth to
people. They want to talk about issues. They want an intelligent talk about issues. They don't want the same old bullshit and mudslinging. And he doesn't sling mud. He talks issues. He talks facts. He talks data. He doesn't talk bullshit.
What I find extremely strange about all of this, gentlemen, is that he's drawing the largest crowd of any other presidential candidate right now, and yet all of the news services are polling him 30 points behind Hillary Clinton. I think something is going on there.
Oh, I do too.
I don't
believe those polls. I don't think he's anywhere near Hillary Clinton yet, but he's gaining on her, and I don't believe network polls because they're slanted. They're slanted with a corporate slant every time, and the corporations are fearful of this guy, and they hate him. They want him out of the picture.
I think you said it well. Corporations are funding the ads, which funded the news program, because now news is for a profit product, and they want to make sure Bernie Sanders stays off the page.
Yeah, they either don't cover him, or they put little blurbs up there, and then they try and poke holes at him, and then they move on.
Yeah,
it's so ridiculous.
Yeah, with an asterisk, you know.
Yep,
yeah, you have
exactly.
10,000 people, but he's really not that important.
Exactly.
You know?
He's drawn like mad everywhere, but to hell with him, you know. No, it's so bullshit.
I do think we're looking at a
revolution here, political revolution. That's what he wants to do.
Yeah, I think there's a very strange situation coming up, especially in the primary. It'll be very strange to see what the voters say, because I think more and more Democrats who are usually liberally aligned, but let's put it this way, they're usually intelligent people who look to the issues.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I would think they would hear more from Mr. Sanders than they would from Mrs. Clinton. I would agree.
So, you know, here's the thing, though. Bernie's been doing a great job in many respects, but here's the problem. Hillary is dwarfing him in campaign contributions. She's going to be very well funded for this, and he's going to be eking by, and the money's going to catch up with him, I think.
You're probably right.
I don't know. I know that what you're saying.
I hope not, but
I know what you're saying, Jack, has all the logic in the world to it. I'm starting to wonder. I'm starting to wonder because there's so much more news to be had if you turn your computer on. And that And in that news, well, you'd be surprised at the age groups. I mean, people
in
their 20s into their early 30s, they don't watch television anymore. They watch the computer.
Yeah, that's right.
And
the
half of
their age category doesn't bother to vote.
Well,
that's the problem.
Okay, there you got it. I guess, you know.
If they all voted, it'd be a whole different country and a whole different world, I guarantee you that. But they don't vote. They get dissuaded from it, distracted, or some of them are apathetic and don't care. But the ones that really do care, they get out there, but a lot there aren't enough of them.
And then again, I point to the crowds this man is drawing, the numbers.
Oh, it's incredible.
I mean,
well, Gwen,
here's
another thing. Say Bernie Sanders gets the Democratic nomination. He's beat out Hillary, you know, to much of everybody's surprise because, you know, his message was ringing so true. But now in a general election, he's going to have to go against those with voter suppression dealing in many states.
Oh, yeah.
You know, right. And matter of fact, the Democrats in there said, sure, we'll let you have your rebel flag. Remove all your voter suppression. We'll get your ass voted out.
Right.
Yeah.
They want to cradle that Confederate flag, but oh, wait a minute. No, we can't get rid of voter suppression.
I see it coming. I do see it coming. I have to ask you guys about one other person in the news this week.
Okay.
They released, somebody revealed, I think it was the New York Times, actually, that got a hold of the court record that had been secluded close on Bill Cosby's
testimony.
Yeah. And basically, he sits in there and he says, sure, I gave her drugs.
Gave her Quaaludes.
Sex with her, but it was consensual. You feed a young woman drugs and then you have, what, consensual sex? I mean,
knocked her ass out with a Quaalude, and then she didn't resist.
Let's face it.
The man had a very successful Hollywood career and a TV career and everything else, but morally bankrupt, and he's a sick man. He's a very sick man to prey on women that way.
And he's lost all of his support publicly.
Oh yeah.
Those who were at least given the benefit of the doubt and believed him. Even they've left him. It's like, there's too much evidence here.
Whoopi Goldberg had been saying, you know, how can you can't say this? And not just he is suffering. She was saying, you know, there's actors that acted with him who are suffering now, too.
Oh, yeah, it's too bad. You know, and it's really a shame because he's, let's face it, he's in his 70s. He's not going to be that active anymore in any capacity. And, you know, what a way to go out. What a sour note to the end of a brilliant and once thriving career.
Absolutely. Well, it's
really?
Just like Papa Joe
really?
Turner. Go ahead.
Really, gentlemen? Really? It's a sour note? It's a shame? I think the man should be held responsible.
Oh,
I agree.
Yes.
I won't argue with you on that.
He self-imploded from his own actions that, everybody didn't know. The man won the presidential, Medal of Honor because he was active in civil rights. He drew a lot of parallels of giving black people as Dr. Huxtable, you can be in this demographics.
Right.
He gave a good example. Unfortunately, what he was doing publicly was not what he was doing privately. And
exactly
that he finally
right.
caught up with it.
You know,
that was the shame part. All the good work he did is wiped off the slate.
You know, there's a lot of candidates out there who use the term the working middle class, and that has become a meme on Twitter and all the socials, and it's getting into Democracy Now! And a lot of the channels that are on the alternate channels now. When you say the working middle class, everybody else hears white America.
No, not at all accurate.
That's
not me.
Oh,
that is even close.
I was going to say, the guy who I sat in the cubicle with, his name is Spencer Wilson. He's a black guy who grew up in the Bronx of New York. He keeps my sanity
so much. He, I call him my brother. We both started at the same time there. We both had the same history of, you know, we lost a job. We were down to basically our last dollars to get ourselves out here to work in Columbus. And in other words, our lives paralleled so much. He has two young children and stuff. He, like myself, is working middle class. The guy who I was planning on picking up, which I don't have to pick him up until 7:30 now, again, is a black man out in Chicago.
Yeah, but you gentlemen, you're missing my point.
Okay.
This is what is going on within especially young groups like those Black Lives Matter people in the streets, activists, people are looking for climate change. All of these politically active people right now are this is the meme. When you say middle class, working America, you are saying white. And that's...
Well, I'm kind of going to disagree because...
But that's just not accurate,
if you've
period.
Got the education, if you've got the education, you can be a doctor, engineer, right on down the line. And it doesn't
white
matter
or
if you're black or white, you're in that
or Asian or whatever.
Or Asian or Iranian, Arab, you are part of the working middle class demographics, economic stratifications.
Well,
I'm saying.
The big tragedy
yeah,
is that particular
okay, wait,
class
wait,
is
wait,
shrinking.
That's
wait
a
the
minute.
Big tragedy.
Wait a minute. You say it doesn't matter what race you are, but if you have the education, you can get the job. That's America. Well, a guy just took a gun out. A guy just took a gun out and shot some of our military and some civilians in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And one of the things that led to his depression and his Nazi Fagan actions was being fired for being a Muslim and suspicious at a nuclear plant where he was qualified to be working.
Yeah.
Now, this is just one example, and I bring it up because it's right there in front of us right now, glaringly.
Yep,
and
right.
you cannot deny that a majority of people of color in this country are discriminated against. And even if
we've been talking that way for years, and we're on target with that, no doubt about it. And that's
so
a big tragedy.
Working middle class, you are saying white. That's the conception among people of color.
Well, not among people I know, Gwen, that work two and three jobs just to stay anywhere near the middle class, and most of them aren't white.
I understand, Jack. I understand what you're saying, and. I can see absolutely with clarity what you're saying. I am just regurgitating. I am telling you what is going on the left side of the country.
Mm-hmm.
What the
left is,
what used to be just a liberal crowd and is now more of an activist radical crowd of people are saying, shit needs to change. I mean, they're taking their walking papers from guys, you know, old white guys like Noam Chomsky.
Oh, exactly.
You know?
Yep.
And they're saying that's what that means. And you have to sit back and think about it in the broad perspective of what is happening at the moment. That's
And I understand where you're coming from, Glenn, but and also, too, now I'm also looking at it from my perspective here. The engineering firm I'm with, you know, I was sending out resumes, but at the age of 59, you know, all I was hearing was cricket, you know. They weren't asking me my age, but they asked me what year did I graduate high school.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Yeah, well, I might as well.
So, right? Yeah. Okay, let's do the math. That's real easy, right? And like I said, so I was dealing with age discrimination. Well, because I had the knowledge of electrical infrastructure grid, which not many people do anymore, I got hard by the engineering firm. Now, within this engineering firm, we have Muslims. We have even a woman Muslim with her headdress on, you know, with her scarf on her head and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Nobody thinks anything of it. It's her, right? And we deal professionally with each other. So the spectrum across the whole demographics is in this engineering firm because we've got a guy from Somalia. He's probably one of the higher paid men there. Guy from Romania. He has his doctorate in electrical engineering. So that's, you know, he speaks with a thick accent. but we have the education and knowledge to do the job.
Right.
You know, it amazes me. Go ahead, Wayne, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, and basically, you know, the way this engineering firm is looking at it, which, by the way, ultimately is owned by Biscotti, who also owns the Baltimore Ravens, go Ravens,
mm-hmm.
take you for the value that you can bring and contribute to this company.
Mm-hmm.
And there
it amazes me we're supposedly a melting pot. We view ourselves as a melting pot nation, but in any given generation, there's always been discrimination against immigrants, suspicion, distrust, cast-offness. I mean, it's always been there, and I'm sorry to say, and I hate to say it, but I got a feeling it's always going to be there. We've just got to keep battling.
It's human nature.
To change it.
Like I said, when I was in Yugoslavia, when it was still a country and Tito was in charge, I saw firsthand the tensions and the
between the groups,
the aspects which became the Bosnians against the Serbians when the Serbs tried to genocide the Bosnians.
And the Montenegrins and the Croatians,
yes, exactly. And I would happen to be in split Yugoslavia, so in this case, this was the Bosnians and the Serbs, and it was the Serbs who was exterminating the Bosnians.
Right.
And I saw firsthand, and the thing is, they've been doing that for years with each other. One, you know,
right.
Depending upon one group was up above the other one at any given time. So, what I'm saying is it's human nature. We would always find a way.
It's the bad side of human nature that we've got to battle against.
You know, the Germans had the Jews and the Gypsies, right?
Yes,
all these Gypsies, they're just lazy, they're thieves, they're going to steal from you. You know, they aren't going to work.
Where
have we heard this verbiage before in this country?
Yeah.
Basic sociology, I get that. You know,
it's sick, isn't it? And it's something we got to battle against this ignorance and this prejudice. That's all we can do.
That's right. You just got to keep
it. It's a never ending battle, but we just got to keep at it.
And people will see for what it is. Well, now you'll still have, you know, like those bobbleheads, you know, and we're talking about the Rush Limbaugh crowd. Oh yeah, he's right. Oh yeah, yeah. Yo, those people aren't going to work. You know,
they're
just going to sit there and get that welfare. And you know, I'm tired of paying my tax dollars paying to support his 20 million kids. You know, whatever.
Yep. And you know, the sad thing is that this latest batch of anti-immigration feeling and stuff is being fed by there's so damn many guns in this country, and the minute anything happens with a gun that involves a minority or person shooting that gun, it's just the most horrible thing in the world. But look at the way black people are being murdered by police in this country, and that's just you know, and barely starting to even talk about police brutality, and it's been all over the place. You know, just I want to say on a side note here, we're getting near the end of the hour here. My very next post, which is going to appear tomorrow, deals with a mass shooting database that it's just unbelievable. It goes back to 1982, and it shows we've had a tremendous amount of mass shootings, and they keep popping up all the time. They're popping up, and just list all the people, all the victims, all the people that pulled the gun, all the people that were injured, and list all this stuff. And it's fascinating. I didn't realize how horrible it's been. And it's just, you know, it goes all the way up through the latest four-person death in Chattanooga there.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the Chattanooga and that incident, right, I was thinking to myself now, how many of the gun rights people would have not spoken out saying, this guy still had his right to buy a gun. He was a naturalized American citizen. He had to buy that gun, right? So, I'm sorry. The guy was mentally ill.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
The guy who shot up all those kindergarten kids up in Connecticut was mentally ill.
Yep.
You know, and the guy who just shot up the movie theater was mentally ill.
Right.
How many mentally
all
ill people is it going to take for we're going to say, you know what, if you got some sickness in that aspect, maybe you shouldn't be having the right to have a gun.
The guy
maybe
that
we need to
Gabby
do
Giffords
a background check
ill.
To make
They're
sure that you can be a responsible aspect.
Exactly.
But again, the NRA is nothing more than a marketing aspect of the gun industry.
Exactly.
But they pass those checks, you know. I mean, it's happened over and over again.
No. The guy who, the nut job that shot up down there in South Carolina, Charleston, South Carolina, had they done their job right, he would not have passed his check.
Right, exactly.
He got flags there that said, no, this person should not have a gun.
And this nonsense about if everybody had a gun, then there'd be less of this, that is bullshit. You know, by that very faulty logic, we ought to all have our own personal individual nuclear weapons because we've got a nuclear holocaust. Oh, utterly absurd.
Your dog took a shit in my yard. Boom! Big fucking hole.
Really, you know, that is utterly absurd.
The nation just went sort of ballistic with love wins because we have national equality for marriage with gays and the LGBT community. You know, yesterday, I guess it was, Scott Walker said he didn't know if being gay was a choice. He's certainly going after a specific crowd.
He is such a jerk.
Of voters, but I think in the majority hall, that kind of language can lose you an election.
Yeah, I think so. He's gonna do his best to win it, and the Koch brothers are gonna be throwing all kinds of money behind him. They already have, you know. You gotta watch that guy. He's dangerous.
Did you watch Sunday Morning this morning? Basically, the two black comedians that are really pushing the boundaries. They push every button. One was. Was named Leonard. He was like the black angry voice for the president, the interpreter, black angry voice.
Yeah,
right.
I woke up to
yeah,
that.
Yeah. So, and he said, yeah, that's right. You know, we have Citizens United, and someone just gave $6 million for, you know, one of those wing nuts campaign. He says, and it's my right to piss away $6 million because the man ain't got a chance to win.
Yeah.
I have a free speech to build away $6 million, which I thought summed it up so well. But again,
well, you keep your eye on Scott Walker. He's a liar. He's very conniving, and he does not – he speaks with a very forked tongue, and the Koch brothers love that kind of guy, and they're pouring all kinds of money behind him.
I think that in the Republican crowd, everybody's sort of looking at Jeb Bush as the candidate, though.
Yeah, he's
going to be blessed by the
mainstream
Republican Party.
He is so out of touch. He thinks people to get. He doesn't want more any increase in the minimum wage. He just wants people to work harder and longer.
They just need to work more hours. Yeah,
well,
I'm working 10 hours a day, folks.
And he wants people to have to wait to 68 or 70 for Social Security.
He is so out of touch. It, spoken like a true trust funder, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That's all
exactly.
He is. He's just a trust funder. He's worthless.
Yeah, yeah. He was born with a silver foot up his ass.
Exactly. Yep, exactly. pathetic.
Maybe he should have one up his ass.
Yeah, right. Sideways.
Yeah, that's right.
Jack, tell us the name of your post tomorrow to look for.
It's called... Well, let's see. I don't think I've titled it yet, but it's called. It deals with the gun shootings database, 1982 to present, and it's very thought provoking, I think, and it's at the Saturday Afternoon Post, and it just made me think while I was putting it together and reading this about the sources. I mean, it just blew me away, and it's just really, we've got to do something about these excess guns. I'm all for Second Amendment rights, provided there's some responsibility that goes along with them, and gun checks.
Right.
I'm all for it, then. I'm all for it. Until we have that, and we have it established, you know, nationally, we're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I agree with you. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining me today.
Well,
thank you, Gwen.
Jack, and have a good one, folks.
Yes, and we'll talk to you again next week. Look forward to it, folks.
Absolutely. Same here. Bye-bye.
Yep.
Jack? Hey,
you
Jack?
You bet, Gwen. Yeah.
You forgot to say to keep pushing forward. That's not like you.
Well, that's a given. Keep pushing forward, everybody. We got to keep that going. So I'll remember that next time. I'll remember it every week. So keep pushing forward. It's our only alternative.
Thanks, Jack.
Thanks, Gwen. Thanks, Wayne.
This has been the Sunday Show on Here Be Monsters. Thanks for listening. Tune in. again next Sunday, because we're going to be here. I want to thank Jack Jodell and F. Wayne Johnson. And that's it.